morning. Good morning. There we go. Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you all. I got a text from David this morning to say, tell them that we miss them. So they miss you. He's a softie. So before I start talking, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Mrs. Anne Button. She's going to come down and talk to us very briefly about why she decided to follow Jesus.
Right, well, I'm Anne, as Kay introduced, and I was brought up in a Christian family. My dad's a vicar, so we went along to church every week, which was great, and I really loved it. And then I moved to Leeds to go to university and found myself a church and went along, and somehow lots of other things became important, like drinking and boys and other things that just got in the way, really. So I was just trundling along, quite happy, content with just going to church, until I realised that life wasn't really all it could be. I wasn't very well, and I remember doing a deal with God, which you're not really meant to do. And I said to God, if you give me the energy I need, because I had been diagnosed with ME, I said, if you give me the energy I need, I will just do what you tell me. And from that day on, that's what I've been doing, and that was 10 years ago, and I love knowing God and following Jesus, and life is so much better now than it was back then.
Yay. Thank you, Anne. Marvellous. Love it. So, we're going to continue the series on gathering that David started last week. And the bit that we're talking about today is something that for some people might be an uncomfortable subject. It's up there with money and sex, I think. We're talking about how to share your faith. So I'm going to tackle head on some of the reasons why we might think it's uncomfortable. Is that okay? Okay, so I was thinking about why is it so uncomfortable for us to, you know, talk about Jesus to people? And I was thinking that actually it might be that we are feeling insecure or inadequate in handling some of the questions that come up. It might be that you might feel that you're not a very good example of what you think a follower of Jesus should look like, so you don't want to share your faith with other people. I also think in today's society, it's not really seen as an attractive thing to be associated with church or to be serious about being a follower of Jesus. Often people have ideas about what they think the Christian faith looks like, don't they? You may have come across people who consider it to be narrow-minded or intolerant or just completely not relevant in today's society. Or you might feel that because your attempts at sharing your faith in the past were so awkward, you're just not going to go there again. But perhaps the biggest problem, I think, in sharing our faith with people who don't believe in Jesus is that there's so many bad models out there. You know, just people who make me cringe, like badly cringe. And I guess that many of you could think of a story of experiencing somebody who they shared their faith and it was perhaps overbearing or insensitive or you know, just made you just want to walk away. But this is the thing. I think that God wants to share with you this morning this really important little nugget. And it's that I believe that God can use any of our gifts, any of our personalities and any of our backgrounds to help somebody to come into a relationship with him. God can use your gift of hospitality or mercy or leadership or your talents in music or art or teaching to help someone find Jesus. So anything that you are, anything that you have, if it's made available to God, it can be used to be a bridge for someone to come into a relationship with him. It's very clear that God expects followers of Jesus to share their faith. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So how do we do this without feeling like we're just imposing our beliefs on someone else, like, or on another person? How do we share our faith kindly and lovingly and graciously. Here's an example of when my husband Ben and I did it in a really bad, bad way, just to make you feel a little bit better, or embarrassed that you know me. So, when we were living in our previous house, just opposite Phil and Helen, the local children came round to do no trick or treat at Halloween, and this was before we had any, you know, skills or any, you know, the thing that we do at Halloween, we do a no trick or treat party and a street party, and, you know, we're given tools here to figure out how we do this thing. We didn't have any of that. So when they knocked on our door, we told them why we didn't believe in Halloween, and then we gave them out rubbers and pencils with "God loves you" written on them. Now, I think this is where you check yourself, because for some of you here, you might think that's totally fine. And you might think, that sounds like a good idea, actually. I think I'll do that next Halloween. Trust me, to our neighbours and to most people who don't know Jesus, what we did was very weird and probably supported every idea they had that Christians were weird and were completely out of touch with reality and just odd. The children didn't care what we believed in. They just wanted sweets. Not surprisingly, the following day, our brand new car was covered in eggs. Not good. You'll be pleased to hear that God's changed me a lot over the last 15 years. And many of you have journeyed with me as God started to change my heart for people. He seemed to land on me this ton of compassion for people who didn't know Jesus. And he changed me from having a bit of a religious outlook to having almost like an overwhelming love for people. So, how do we actually share our faith? The Bible gives us lots of advice, and I'd like to tackle some of it this morning. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. If you have a Bible, you can explore it with me. There's some Bibles possibly on the tables. It's Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So number one, pray. What we find in this text is an extraordinarily balanced, gracious, thoughtful approach to how we as followers of Jesus might share our faith with those who don't know yet Jesus. We discover in Colossians that reaching out to people actually begins with prayer. If you want to share your faith in Jesus, the first person you talk to is not your husband or your mum and dad or your roommate, your boyfriend, girlfriend, house group leader. The first person we speak to is God. The first verse in that Colossians text says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Talking to God first is the foundation of sharing our faith. If I think of the differences between followers of Jesus who do really amazing things and followers of Jesus who don't, it's often traced to the fact that effective followers of Jesus who accomplish incredible things talk to God before they talk to people. And ineffective followers of Jesus speak to people before they talk to God. If we look again in the Bible, what do we find the apostles doing before the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus? Let's see. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Okay, we find them praying. After the 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost gave their lives to Jesus, one of the first things they were taught to do was pray. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer, or talking to God about people, has always been the start. If you trace it back to your own life, you will find that somebody has been praying for you. Looking at Anne's story, someone will have been praying for her for a long time. So why pray? Why is it that prayer is so essential to sensitively, attractively, warmly sharing our faith? And I think it's actually so that we don't come off looking weird or being annoying or irritating. Because only in prayer do we gain the loving heart of the Father for this other person. When we pray, I believe God makes us sensitive to actually where this person is coming from. And he begins to show us how we might be able to build a bridge between that person and Jesus. For example, we might discover the person we're talking to is expressing a need in their marriage or in their family. In my experience, even people who are uninterested in church often find the need for relational help in their marriages, or the need to give their children a moral foundation and some, you know, spiritual training. Jesus gives people a foundation for building family life. Or they might be in a crisis, struggling with something internally that's tied them up, depression or an addiction to a substance like alcohol or drugs or food or shopping. Or maybe they have an addiction to a process like sex or work or playing computer games. We can ask God in prayer to open us up and open them up for an authentic conversation about having a relationship with Jesus connects with the particular need. Going back to that verse in Colossians, what's the next bit? It's about being watchful and thankful. Colossians verse 2. I love this bit. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Why does he say to be watchful and thankful? Now, Jesus frequently says, watch and pray. He says it in quite a few different contexts. And what does it mean to be watchful when we pray? Well, I think it means keep your eyes open. Be alert. Because, in other words, understand that when you're praying, there's opposition to whatever God's kingdom purpose might be, whether that's healing or justice or the salvation of a person. You need to understand that in prayer, there's another team on the field. We're not playing the game of life by ourselves. Paul says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Because when we pray, we often can see how the enemy is swooping in, distracting this other person from focusing on God. I don't know about you, but have you ever had that experience of having a great conversation with a person and maybe you invite them to church or round for a meal or whatever, and on the day that they're about to come, one of their children gets sick, or their car breaks down, or they're busy with work? Because when you pray, there's a war going on around the person you're praying for. So that's why we have to pray. We need prayer that releases God's power. So be watchful. Be attuned to the enemy's activities. Prayer is serious business. We need to pray against opposition in our own lives and in the life of the other person. And you can be thankful because ultimately God is on the throne. The battle for this other person is ultimately his. God is alive. God is alert. God loves this person more than I do or you do. I don't need to defend him. I can just rejoice and be thankful, knowing that all I have to do is get on board with what God's doing already. To pray for the sick, have that conversation, make that meal, and I just leave the rest to the King of Kings. The next bit, be ready. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, make the most of every opportunity. I believe we have to pray for open doors. Because only God can open up somebody's heart. Only God can open up someone's eyes to see Jesus. Only God can open up somebody's mind so that they are able to understand what you're talking about. And open their ears to be willing to listen. Only God can open up doors. Jesus says, this is taken from Revelation. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I've lost count of the number of times I've asked God to open doors for me, to help me out when I want to talk to somebody about Jesus, or when I need to pray for healing or something. He always opens up doors, because I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm praying for somebody to be healed, I don't need an audience, and they don't really need an audience either. It's kind of helpful if they're on their own. And so I always have this conversation with God, which goes something like, okay, if you need me to pray for them, you're going to have to make them on their own. That's it. And then I just wait and I get ready to do whatever God wants to do. And this is my favorite bit, because it's really interesting watching people suddenly remember they have to be somewhere, or they leave a room and then you're just left with this person. And then it hits you that actually God's done that for you. Now you need to do something about it. You have to be ready. And that's the scary bit. Ben was telling me a few weeks ago that there was somebody in his office at work who had a shoulder that really hurt, and he wanted to pray for them to be healed. Now, the problem was, it was tricky. For those of you who work in an office, this is like a quiet one with just five people. It's really quiet. Everybody knows what you're doing. So he prayed that God would just sort it so that he could pray for this lady to be healed. And he was saying how funny it was, because two of the men there, they never go to Cafe Nero, ever. And suddenly they decided they needed a coffee from Cafe Nero, and they needed one now. So off they went to Cafe Nero. And what I thought was brilliant was Ben was left with this poorly lady and another lady in the room. So it wouldn't have been good if it was just Ben and the lady. That would have been a bit odd, you know, and a bit dodgy. What are you doing, just you two in the room? But God left another lady in there as well. So I just thought that was great. It turned out that he prayed for this lady to be healed, with the other lady watching, and he had space to have a good chat and to talk before the others came back with their coffee from Cafe Nero. So pray that God opens up doors for you, but be ready to act when he does. Be ready to pray for them to be healed, or to invite them for coffee. Or be ready to ask them how they are doing, really. Be ready to see if they may need a meal cooking. Be ready to show them that the love that God the Father shows you on a daily basis. Next bit of that Colossians verse. Verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Men sometimes say to me that it's easier for women to share their faith because they talk more. I think that's a bit cheeky. I think men are equally brilliant at sharing their faith as women are. And I believe that regardless of whether you're male or female, if you've been praying for your friends, for your colleagues, for your family members, be ready for the conversations to start. God will open up all sorts of opportunities for you to share your faith. It might just be while you're watching the football, if you're a bloke, or if you're eating cake, if you're a girl. Apologies for the stereotyping. Because you've been praying, your heart will be attuned to the needs and God will lead you. I suggest that you simply be real with people, to share how knowing Jesus has made a difference in your life, to share what you might have struggled with and now you're free from, to share with people how God has given you a reason for living, how he's given you a purpose to your life. Maybe in house groups, you could practice telling your story with each other, just like Anne did. Keep it to 100 words. You don't want anybody to nod off while you're talking. Look at some examples on the website. There's loads on there. And house group leaders, there's more ideas in the discipleship topic of Reach Out on the website. Or if you like reading, this is a really good book. I highly recommend it. We've talked about it before. It's called Speaking of Jesus by Carl Medeiros. We have some copies on the resources desk. It's just very down to earth and normal and non-cringy. As you talk with people about how knowing Jesus has made a difference to you, we have to learn how to translate words, especially religious words, you know, into a language that other people can understand. For example, people do not understand the word Christian, not in my experience anyhow. In prior generations, Christian meant being a gentleman or being a lady, having good manners. But in our generation, I don't really know what being a Christian means. Maybe it means you go to church a lot. To some people, it might mean, well, I'm not Jewish or Muslim, so I must be Christian. Very few people understand the word Christian as, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that has made a real difference in my life. Very few people understand being a Christian to mean, I take following Jesus and obedience to his words very seriously in my life. So when you're speaking, keep praying that God would help you with the conversation, that you might make the message clear. Going back to the Colossians verse. What was it that was said? Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. What makes somebody sound really annoying, whether it's over the radio or TV or in a private conversation, is that, you know, that self-superior moralistic tone thing, which doesn't sound in any way like this person perceives themselves as a fellow broken sinner speaking to another fellow broken sinner. It's a tone that kind of thinks, yeah, I'm speaking from on high, I'm standing above you, I'm judging you, I'm critiquing you, letting you know why all that you're doing in your immoral life is wrong. I don't think that's a great idea. When we approach a family member, a spouse, a child or a parent or a colleague at work with this morally superior tone and we expect from that person that they would suddenly open their hearts to Jesus, I think we're just kidding ourselves. Because nothing creates more defensiveness than the feeling of being judged by another human being. So let your speech be full of grace. I believe much of sharing our faith is not us pushing our way into conversations. Most of sharing our faith is simply just responding to somebody's questions or responding to somebody's need. I love hearing all the stories that have emerged over the last few years of people getting to know their neighbours and sharing life with them, whether it's having chats while you're cutting your grass, having a spontaneous barbecue in nice weather. If somebody's moved into the neighbourhood, maybe taking round a bottle of wine or some food and saying hi, asking them if there's anything they need. I loved hearing last week of a family who moved into Harrogate from down south. And Nick and Maggie had arranged for people to pop round with a meal. I spoke to the lady afterwards, and she said that what was amazing was that they even remembered to bring cutlery to eat the meal with, because all their cutlery was in boxes and they thought they'd have to eat lasagna with their fingers. Just little touches. And I love it even more when we get to know other people's neighbours and other people's friends and friends of friends. And when we do meals for friends' friends who've had babies, and I just love that. We get the opportunity to bless them with a meal in a tiring time. People we might never have known before. And for those of you here who have had meals together, who have meals together regularly, why don't you invite your friends to have, you know, to join in? You know, your colleagues who don't know Jesus, invite them round too. I've heard loads and loads of stories of people who have been praying to have conversations about Jesus with their friends, and actually what happens is someone else ends up having those conversations with them instead, which is great. So to conclude, because I'd like to give a little bit of time at the end for you just to kind of like chat amongst yourselves, just to talk about your experiences of sharing your faith. What's it been like? Would you do it? Would you not do it? What's the obstacles? So I'm going to give about 5-10 minutes in a minute just for you to kind of think or chat to your person sitting next to you or whatever, and just say, what is it? What is it that you struggle with, or how easy it is for you? But before I do that, I just want to conclude on this Colossians verse. I believe that God can use any of our gifts and any of our personalities and any of our backgrounds to help somebody to come into a relationship with Jesus. Anything that you are and anything that you have, if it's made available to God, it can be used to be a bridge for someone to come into a relationship with Jesus. So pray. Talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. Be watchful and thankful. Remember, this is a battle, and there will be opposition to God's plan for your friend or your neighbor's life. Be thankful that God is sovereign and he's in control. Be ready. Be ready. Pray for God to open doors. But then when he does open the doors, be ready to speak, listen, or act with no clever language. Just be ready to share how knowing Jesus has made a difference in your life. Be ready to listen to how people really are. To act by getting to know your friends, your neighbors, blessing them in any way you can. So, how should we do this? I think what I'll do is, I'm going to pray for you now. And then if you want to respond to that prayer, you can come down to the front. If you want to just hang out here and talk and mull over those questions, you can do that. Or you can go back into the street. I wanted to give a little bit of time before we have to collect the children. So, why don't I pray for you? If you agree with what I'm praying for you for about, just say amen at the end, or you can maybe repeat the words in your head. But I'd like it to be a choice that you make. Here we go. Father God, I thank you for making each one of us different with our own gifts, talents, personalities, and backgrounds. We choose to make these gifts, talents, and personalities available to you right now as a way of sharing our faith. We ask you to speak to us and to show us where and how we can be a bridge for people to come to know you, Jesus. Speak to us about the people we know right now. Put people on our hearts. Show us their needs and how we can bless them. Encourage us, Lord, to pray, to talk to you first. Make us ready, ready to share what you've done for us. So if you prayed that prayer, be expectant. Watch, look. Keep praying for God to use you today and the week ahead. Be expectant. God will do it. You just need to be ready for the prompts.